This offseason was already lining up to be an important offseason for the Chicago Bulls, and now it's getting to be made even more important because one thing that a lot of Bulls fans have been asking for are changes in the front office, and there's starting to be more and more signs that some changes could be coming, but AK may be the constant, the one that stays throughout all of that, which I know is going to cause some problems. We'll talk about that, plus the latest update in regards to Billy Donovan and the job at UNC, and then lastly, the Chicago Bulls lottery odds or the rebuild can get a lot easier, but we're going to need some help from a Western Conference team. We're talking about all that plus more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Eric Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. And there's starting to be a lot more around what's going on with Billy Donovan. Joe Cowley's report could have opened up the floodgates to a lot of news, not only with the Chicago Bulls head coach Billy Donovan, but also the front office of itself. Over the last 24 hours, we've now gotten more details on Billy Donovan, a pursuit from the University of North Carolina, and also in regards to changes possibly coming to the front office. Now, is this all kind of spurning on from Joe Cowley's article? Maybe, but you have people like Brett Siegel weighing in on it independently with their own sources and stuff like that, which to me gives it a little bit more weight, right? Like I talked about on yesterday's episode, separating the smoke from the fact in regards to the Billy Donovan stuff. And one of the things that I pointed out too is that as of right now, there's only one guy who didn't source anything, and it was Joe Cowley's thoughts and feelings. Now we have other things that have come out over the last 24 hours. One of the major things was Brett Siegel had an independent report on Clutch Points in his own written article over there, in which he talked about the fact that not only is UNC planning a big pursuit of Billy Donovan, that they're already planning to sit down and talk with him after the season. Now that adds a little bit more complexity on it for me, right? I'll say for me in that sense, because, you know, first, if you have somebody nationally reporting on it, then you have the University of North Carolina planning to meet with Billy Donovan. We already know that Billy Donovan is going to be sitting down with the front office. Casey Johnson's own report supported that yesterday, that, you know, it's not a foregone conclusion that Billy Donovan's going to be back on this. So now when you pair all that, you have national guys talking about it in Brett Siegel in regards to UNC. You have a local guy in Joe Cowley saying that there was growing momentum. And then you have the guy that many people say is the mouthpiece of the Chicago Bulls in Casey Johnson, basically also doubling down on the fact that, hey, a return from Billy Donovan is not something that you could take as granted, right? Now, one of the quotes that I want to get into is Jeff Goodman of The Field 68 said this in regards to Billy Donovan and people in Donovan's camp. However, there are a ton of people in Billy Donovan's circle right now that have told Billy Donovan, get the hell out of there. Get out of there. You can't win with what they've given you, with what Arturis has given you in terms of talent. So go to Carolina and have a chance to win this whole thing again. Now, that is something, right? Now, Goodman did say that he did contact Billy Donovan and wasn't able to really get much information out of Billy Donovan. But I think even when you look at how Billy Donovan, when the Kentucky things popped up, Billy Donovan very quickly afterwards basically said, hey, you know, I'm going to be here in Chicago, right? Like, we had a few days of speculation, some speculation even still after that, but Billy Donovan gave basically a glowing thing of saying, listen, I'm going to be here in Chicago. Now, it's not so much as that, right? And so you have to now look at that part of it as well, as far as, hey, Billy, it seems like, and maybe there's some a little bit of regret that Billy Donovan that he didn't take the UNC job last season. I mean, the Kentucky job last season. But now you have UNC, Kansas has already opened up, and Billy Donovan is going to have an opportunity at any college that he wants to because of the success that he had in college, both as a recruiter with his recruiting classes always being solid, regardless of where they were ranked as far as stars. He always had a solid recruiting class, being somebody that's won multiple titles there as well. He's been in the NBA now 11 years, right? That's a decade. Over a decade. And he started off with a 61 win percentage with his first seasons there in OKC. That's dropped down now here in Chicago, right? Like, it's down to 53% win percentage. So that's something that you got to look at with all of this as well. It's just interesting. It's what it just comes down to, is that this Billy Donovan thing, especially because it's linked to maybe there is some discontent between Billy Donovan and the front office, and that relationship isn't what it once was. As far as, you know, we've heard nothing but, oh, it's the collaborative nature. We love Billy Donovan because the collaborative nature between the front office and Billy Donovan. And, you know, hearing that, you know, some people are pointing out to Billy Donovan, like, hey, our Arturis haven't given you much of anything. So what are we doing for it, right? Like, and then the Casey Johnson report as well, when he talked about the current buzz around, you know, a possible departure, he did say it's speculation, but he also said, Casey Johnson said, it's also that Billy Donovan is expected to table any discussions about his future until the summer. And so, listen, say what you will, but it's not a given that Billy Donovan returns back to this team. And I know there are a lot of Bulls fans that sit on both sides of this. Some Bulls fans think Billy Donovan isn't the problem at all. It's just Arturis and the roster that Arturis has given him. Some people look at Billy Donovan and say that he shares some of the blame, and some blame a lot on Billy Donovan. Like, I was surprised to see as many people came out and blame, you know, things majorly on Billy Donovan. The truth is somewhere in the middle. The fact is, Billy Donovan has left opportunities coaching-wise on the table. He's not always used the roster to the best of their ability. These are things that are just fact. I'm not blaming the roster overall on him, but he still has had times where he didn't use and didn't run things that made sense or didn't get creative in play calls and stuff like that. Like, it's just the reality of it. Blame is very rarely ever just one person, right? And that's just the way I look at the world. But at the end of the day, it comes down to this Billy Donovan thing. There's some teeth to it. There's some legs to it, I should say. And we'll see what eventually comes out of it. It could very well be possible that by the end of this season, Billy Donovan is not is still the Chicago Bulls head coach. Nothing's changed. Everything stays the same. And we're right in the same position that we've always been with this team. But there's a world in which it's not. And there's a world in which it is different in the sense that Billy Donovan may take a step away. Now, maybe the step isn't even UNC or Kansas. Maybe the step is he's just going to take the initial thing that we heard, take a year away to reassess what's going on with his basketball future, heal from the stuff that from the family members that he's lost, and then he'll make a decision. But at the same time, sometimes opportunities aren't on the table again. And he's already getting an opportunity at another historic college with UNC popping up and being interested after, you know, turning down the Kentucky job. Does he do that again? Billy Donovan is a decent NBA head coach. He's a godly head coach as far as his reputation and legacy when it comes to college basketball. And so, do you go back to where you are going to have full reign after being with the Chicago Bulls? Not, and especially if you've had disagreements in regard to what to do with certain rosters and stuff like that. He's going to go to college and he's going to have all of that at his disposal. All of that is going to be at whatever he wants, and college is going to give him whatever he wants to be able to build that college program out. All the assets, all the type of stuff. And yes, college landscape has changed some because NIL was not a thing the last time Billy Donovan was a college head coach. But, you know, the things that still make colleges great, the recruiting aspect, the coaching aspect, the relationships part, the setting up your scouts, knowing what's going on around high school, around the world, so you can have the right recruits. Those are all things that Billy Donovan's probably still going to be very much so tapped into. And so we'll see. We shall see what's going to happen here with Billy Donovan. It's gone from a thing where after the initial day with Joe Calley was like, okay, it's interesting, let's watch it, to now it's more of a thing of this could actually happen. And this could actually be real. And what does that then mean for the Chicago Bulls? We can talk about the number of head coaching candidates. You guys know my favorite is Chris Quinn. But Chris Quinn, Sam Cassell, Taylor Jenkins, a lot of you guys have brought up Mike Malone. The people who bring up Coach Budenholzer, I don't really know if they've actually watched a lot of times when he was coaching Milwaukee outside of just when they were playing the Bulls. But you got to go look at Coach Bud. Coach Bud is not that different from Billy Donovan as far as from a philosophy standpoint, a player utilization standpoint, rotation standpoint, and lack of adjustment standpoint. I think people forget that he was on his way to be fired before they won a title with the Milwaukee Bucks, and they never got back close, and that's why he was fired shortly thereafterwards, because it was like, okay, cool, let's get right back to the reality that we're in. And I'm not as high on Coach Bud. I can understand Mike Malone. He is somebody that will be a leader in the locker room. We know that part he will instill, but even some of his lineups and rotations. But, you know, we'll see. Taylor Jenkins, Chris Quinn, Sam Cassell. I want something new, right? I think that Mike Malone, Coach Budenholzer, and Billy Donovan are all similar coaches as far as, not just because they're all balding white men, but because as far as the player execution and lineup, their adjustments, all that is very similar. I want somebody like what the Bears did with Ben Johnson. I want to bring in somebody creative. Taylor Jenkins is a creative offensive mind, a creative coach that has really good success. You look at, you know, Chris Quinn and Sam Cassell. These are two guys that are up and coming that could be the next great head coaches. That's what I kind of would rather to dip my toe into that more so than to go back to the well of these coaches that have been recycled before. But, hey, as long as they get the right guy, that's the only thing that matters, right? That's the only thing that matters there, and we'll see if they can get that done. But with that said, I want to focus on something else that's been talked a lot about in regards to this, right? And this one came out from 670 The Score, David Hall, in which he talked about that there are some talks about changes at the highest level. And this is different from the Billy Donovan thing, saying this. I do know this is this in talking to people who would be in a position to know. The offseason ahead is going to be a critical one, and it's significant for the Bulls. Changes are being considered, and changes are being considered at the highest level. Unless you're Michael or Jerry Reinsdorf, I'm not sure you're in a position to know what comes next. Now, what does this mean, right? If we're hearing that Michael and Jerry Reinsdorf are the only people that could know how many changes are coming, does that mean that they've finally woken up to the situation that this team is in? Or have they naturally been triggered by the fact of, okay, wait, we just traded Zach LaVine last season. We're trading, you know, we traded a lot of players that have been here before. And you're talking about Billy Donovan could potentially be out. All right, let's go.
This episode sponsored by Forkful. Most meal delivery services promise healthy food, but look closer and you'll often find cheap industrial seed oils hiding in the ingredients. Forkful does things differently. Forkful delivers chef-prepared meals made with premium ingredients you'd expect at a great restaurant, from center-cut filet mignon to wild-caught lobster mac and cheese. And every meal is 100% seed oil free. Instead of canola or soybean oil, Forkful chefs cook with extra virgin olive oil, avocado oil, and grass-fed butter, because better fats make better food. Meals arrive fresh, never frozen, with clear nutrition and ingredient transparency, so you always know exactly what you're eating. Restaurant-quality meals, real ingredients, no seed oils. Discover Forkful today at ForkfulMeals.com.
We'll do an audit. It's basically because Michael Reinsdorf and Jerry Reinsdorf run the team very much like, I made this comparison in the Discord, right? They run the team like how, when you think of chain restaurants, how they're franchisees in chain restaurants. So basically the way that the Reinsdorfs run the Chicago Bulls is that, hey, as long as each franchise, in this case, the Bulls, the Sox, and the residential businesses, as long as they're making money, good, we're good, right? We kind of stay hands off as long as they're not making money. But in the same sense that when you have a franchisee that is excelling and doing, you may give them a little bit more money on their books, right? Or if you have one that is like, hey, we lost, the turnover at this franchise is getting crazy. Let's go see what's happening on with this franchisee. That's basically what could be happening here, is that as the businessmen, they're coming in and saying, all right, let's look at what's been going on here. We've kind of been hands off. Let's go do an audit. And that audit can lead them to saying, hey, we need a new eye here. Now, maybe they still want to work with AK. Because, again, you know, one thing that we've seen from this ownership group is that if you're the president of basketball ops, you usually get a decade plus at the job. AK's 6 years in, right? So they could sit down with AK and say, hey, listen, what's going on here? And AK could say, listen, I know we changed the roster. We're going to reset. Billy Donovan's leaving. We're also going to get a new GM. And then they can say, okay, cool. All right, cool. So we're going to make some changes. All right, but the pressure's on. We're watching closely now what happens over the next 2 or 3 years since you're going into a rebuild. Or they can come in and say, listen, this shit ain't working. Let's tear this shit all the way down. Let's rip it all the way out. We got it. We're resetting the roster anyway. This is a perfect time to bring in a new set of eyes to talk about how we need to build out this thing going forward. I'm not trying to hold out any hope. I don't have very much hope for the Reinsdorfs, Jerry and Michael, to actually do something. But it does seem like there is something right now that there could be a status quo change here for the Chicago Bulls this upcoming year. Now, while David Hall did not provide the specifics in down to it, he is kind of implying that a reset of the table could be possible, right? So if there is a front office shakeup, what does that mean for the Chicago Bulls, right? Let's be clear here. John Paxson was on duty for 17 years, right? 17 years. And then Gar Forman was also extended, right? He was hired in 2029. He was here, 2009, he was here until 2020, right? So typically people have a long leash here with Chicago, right? Now, Paxson's still on the job. Now he's in a different position, but he's still on payroll, right? I like to talk about that a long time. Arturas is on year 6, and typically we do not see changes from the front office with the Bulls after 6 years with that. So the question then becomes about, have Michael and Jerry Reinsdorf had enough? Has it been enough bells raised with an alarm that we see actual change happen? Could be, right? And did AK buy his time resetting the roster? That's things that we don't know what's coming here. But I do think this isn't the first time that we've heard this. I keep going back to David Kaplan, who on just kind of a quick little thing, he was asked a question on the live. You know, he said, hey, listen, they're talking about changes being made. Nothing's actually been made, but they're talking about it. And that is a big step for this franchise. And it is. And he's right. It is in that. Well, my differences with Cap aside, right? So whether Billy Donovan, takes a voluntary exit away from the Chicago Bulls, right? And then there's a change in Eversley's seat as well. That's the thing that you're looking at. And that could be what's happening. Could it go as far as AK actually losing his job? I've been somebody who consistently said probably not AK is going to lose his job, but I won't lie and say, now that we're hearing some different things, maybe I was wrong on that. And maybe we see this franchise actually do something that they've very rarely ever done, and that's make a significant change and not wait till it's too late to change your front office, not wait till after the thing's completely ruined. Well, some people could say that it is with, you know, the reset, and of course people are going to bring up the trading of Io DeSumo into that as well. And we just got to see what's going to happen. We're going to see how it's going to happen. But let me know what you guys think on that down below. Hearing now more rumblings that not only the Billy Donovan stuff, which is voluntary per him, but there could be some things that are coming down as a mandate from ownership, and that ownership and Michael and Jerry could be taking more, paying more attention to what's happening here in Chicago. Let me know what you guys think on that down below. With that said, last topic of the day before we get up out of here, I said I was going to talk about the Chicago Bulls and their rebuild timeline and how it could change based off the luck of a Western Conference team. And of course, many people have already guessed, probably based off what I said in the intro, that Western Conference team is the Portland Trailblazers. This is a historically deep draft. And while it's not in the Chicago Bulls' power, we don't have the control over it. If the Portland Trailblazers make the playoffs this year, we get their pick. With the way that things are shaking out, if they do make the playoffs, their pick is going to be 15th, which means it's the first pick outside the lottery. Keep in mind, this is a draft where people have said that they would not be surprised if you get NBA starters in the 20s and players that may even have the potential to turn into all-stars in the 20s. The Portland Trailblazers have won 2 games in a row. They're 7-3 in their last 10. They're 1 game behind the Los Angeles Clippers and 1.5 games ahead of the Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors, who also have won 2 games in a row, but they're 3-7 in their last 10. What happens here? The remainder of this race is going to be hugely important for the Bulls. The Bulls need to be watching the Western Conference play-in race like it's Bulls games, because it's that important. The Trailblazers right now sit at 37-37. They're perfect 500 on the season. Man, how I would love for a 500 team. But they still have the Clippers, who still have Kawhi. Golden State Warriors are going to get Steph back at some point. And those things are going to be kind of what determines the factor there. Is the determinant factor. Now, I've said before many times, I want to see the Portland Trailblazers get up to the 8 seed because that gives them 2 chances to get 1 win. If they lose the 7-8 matchup, they have a chance to then take on the winner between the 9-10 matchup, right? And that's the place that I want them to be in. Can they do it? That's going to be the question here. You got Steph Curry, who's still out for a while. He has not participated in a scrimmage. There's been no other updates really coming. They did say updates going to come later this week, but it hasn't come up yet. There's only a handful of games left on the season. This is where the Portland Trailblazers need to make their move. And the reason why, getting 2 first-round picks in this draft is hugely important. And then on top of that, we also have the high pick in the second round of this draft with the New Orleans Pelicans pick. This is where the Bulls can get to cooking. This is where the Bulls can get to something happening remaining way for this season left for them. We got to see if the Portland Trailblazers can do it. We got to see if they can do it. Because if you can have 2 first-round picks in this draft, that could be the difference between you getting a high-level asset with 10 and then getting another player that can come in and perform. The Portland Trailblazers only have 8 games left. They have some of the fewest games left in the league due to the Portland Trailblazers, and only 8 games left on the season. Chicago Bulls still got 10 games left. So right now the Bulls are slated to pick 10th, which is perfectly fine. We're still in that tie with the Milwaukee Bucks. We'll see what happens there. But that could be the difference between getting, for example, like a Brayden Buries and still going out and getting Nicole Pete or Thomas Hall or Patrick Ngangba, right? Or somebody like that, that a lot of people, y'all of you guys are Jaden Quittenson, right? And another guy, Chris Sinak Jr., like those players. This can be a almost perfect draft for the Chicago Bulls if they have that. And it accelerates the rebuild quite a bit. I'm not saying that it accelerates the rebuild immediately because it depends on what impact those players that the Bulls draft can make right away, their overall ceiling, how high they hit that ceiling, and the continued progression between Josh and Modest Bouzelis, right? But we should be rooting for the Portland Trailblazers the rest of the way. There's just no doubt about it. Now, when you look at the chances between them right now, right? They're going to be in the play-in tournament regardless. So they're going to have a chance to make the playoffs regardless of whatever happens, right? But they have to play two of these three teams, the Phoenix Suns, the Clippers, or the Golden State Warriors. They're going to have to play two of those teams unless they get into the eight seed and then win that first game, right? Now, can they pass the Los Angeles Clippers in standings, who they trail by half a game? They can, right? They can. They'll have to win one game in Phoenix as well, and we'll see what happens with that one. But I think also when you look at it, also Portland is 4-8 against the three play-in teams that I just talked about. 4-8 with a 69-point deficit in those games that they played those teams. There's 12 games between where they played those teams. And so that's the thing when it comes down to it. Now, they do have the second easiest strength of schedule remaining for the rest of the year over their eight games. So the question then becomes about, can Denny Avdija and, you know, Shaedon Sharpe and players coming back, can they lead the Portland Trailblazers to a playoff appearance? Are the Portland Trailblazers going to tank it, right? Because keep in mind, if they don't, they go into the lottery. They go into the lottery, they have a chance to get the number one overall pick in this draft, right? But, you know, Shaedon Sharpe, who was announced to be out 4 to 6 weeks on February 24th, we're coming up on the four-week part of that. Now, does he come back for the play-in? That may be when he comes back. He may not even be able to come back to the playoffs, which brings a huge concern for that, right? So we'll end up seeing what happens, but everybody should be rooting for the Portland Trailblazers, because this rebuild gets a lot easier if the Bulls can get two first-round picks in this draft. That opens up so much flexibility in what they can do. They can try to pair him to move up, maybe into the top five. They can draft him because there's going to be some really good talent there. They can pair their second-round picks, the bunch that they got, and the Portland pick to then try to move up in the draft. They can do a lot of things and a lot of flexibility. We'll get into the possibilities once the draft lottery happens, but Bulls fans should be rooting that the Bulls can get that Portland pick. If we get that Portland pick, things get a lot easier for this team. Let's see if we can get it done. But that's going to do it for today's episode of Chicago Bulls Central, man. I appreciate you guys so much for tuning in, supporting the channel in the way that you have. But I want to hear from you guys down below. Do you think Billy Donovan actually leaves for a college team this year? And if he does, is that going to start another full reset? Do you think that, and with ownership looking at reviewing this team, do you think there's a chance that Arturis Karnasova could be removed from his job this year? Drop your thoughts in the comment section down below. Make sure you guys like the video, subscribe to the channel, hit that notification bell if you never want to miss an episode. You can also follow us at Bull Central Pod on every social media platform. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. And lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We're the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Breaks Media.